I'm sitting here with a guy I've known for some years, but not well. Nestor Gomez and I had a conversation some years ago at some event, didn't we? And Nestor has gone on to become one of Chicago's leading storytellers. You just got off a 80 Minutes Around the World immigration, a kind of a Steppenwolf show. What was Nestor, it's great to see you. He brought
me
these beautiful, beautiful dolls that his family makes in his native Guatemala. They're so beautiful. I'm going to put them on my, I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to have someone help me put them on my Facebook page. Tell me about the show that was at Steppenwolf.
The show 80 Minutes Around the World is a show where we bring storytellers that are either immigrants, descendant of immigrants, or allies, so we could hear the experience, the immigration experiences, because right now at this point we need to be building bridges instead of building walls.
Well, you need, I know what this country needs is a greater understanding of what an immigrant is and what it means. My grandparents were immigrants. Many people's grandparents were immigrants. Are you an immigrant?
Of course I'm an immigrant. I came to this country undocumented in the mid-1980s.
Why?
Because my family used to make those worry dolls that we sold at the airport, and then the civil war exploded in Guatemala. It was getting really bad, and tourists were not coming to the country, so we couldn't sell anything. So we had to.
So your entire family came.
So my mother and my parents came first. They came first. The plan was to make some money to then go back to Guatemala and then buy a house, but the civil war kept getting worse. So they decided it was better to bring us to the United States. So after a couple of years, they brought us to the United States.
What year was this?
There was the year was 1985 when me and my siblings came to the United States.
And did you come directly to Chicago?
We crossed the border undocumented from Guatemala to Mexico. And then we crossed the border through Mexico and the USA. I stayed in a safe house for a couple of weeks until my mother could put some more money together. And then they brought us from L.A. to Chicago.
Why Chicago?
Because my grandmother used to work here for a long time.
Yeah.
My grandmother had been working here in the United States. She was one of those persons that she was born here as a cleaning lady, basically.
Yeah.
And the first time that she came over, the people that brought her just like hid her documents and basically were hired like a slave for like 2 years. And she was able to escape and go back to Guatemala, and then she had another opportunity to come, and she almost didn't come because she's like, why am I going to be there as a slave? But it was a better family that treated her better, and she was sending money to Guatemala, and we were able to actually build a house in Guatemala. But after many years, she decided, well, she was getting old, and she decided it was time for her to retire. So she went back to Chicago, and my mother thought this is the opportunity.
Did she have friends in a community at least here?
She had
worked as kind of a slave. It seems that she would not have a support system here,
No, she didn't have
But she was familiar with the environment.
My grandmother, yes. My grandmother was familiar. And then she went back to Guatemala. And when she went back to Guatemala, my mother was like, this is my time to go and try to make a living. So my grandmother stayed with us, and then my parents came here.
Wow, and then they brought you there.
And then a couple of years later, they
brought us. How old were you?
I was 15 years old.
How did you find it? It is, the proverbial foreign country.
Did
you speak English?
I didn't speak anything because I used to stutter when I was a kid. So I used to stutter back in Guatemala, and I was just getting over my stuttering just by talking to people, because we were too poor to, be sent to,
going to a doctor or a speech therapist.
Exactly. It's like either go to the doctor or put food on the table. So we put food on the table. So my father used to send me to the corner store and be like, this is what you need to get. And at the corner store, you had to talk to the person, give me a pound of sugar, give me coffee. So he'll force me to talk. So I'll be forced to talk to people. And I was getting over my stuttering when I came to the United States. But then, because I had to learn a new language, it was a new country.
Well, you had to go into school, right?
Yeah, I started to stutter again. And basically, I was like a bilingual stutterer.
Well, where do you live in Chicago?
We live in Chicago. We live in. We first came to Uptown Chicago.
Yeah.
Then we moved to the Ukrainian Village, then to Humboldt Park. Right now, I live on Edgewater.
What did your father do here?
My father, he used to work as painting cars. My father died a long time ago. He died 20 something years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he died basically the week after my son was born.
Oh my God.
Yes.
And where'd you go to high school?
I went to Clemente High School.
And how'd that work out for you?
That was That was great. Clemente High School was very segregated, like Chicago is segregated. They have a floor that was all Latinos. They had another floor where it was mostly African Americans, and then they segregated people by floor for some reason.
I know occasionally in the Latino community there is some, if not racism among Latinos, at least some tension between Puerto Ricans and Mexicans, for instance. How does a Guatemalan fit into that whole Latino thing?
I have always been so kind of like in the middle because of what you say, because the Mexican community is so dominant and also the Puerto Rican community is so dominant. So when you have like somebody from Guatemala, somebody from El Salvador, from Colombia, which are like little, like smaller numbers, we tend to get drawn to one community more than the other.
Okay.
Like, for example, when I speak Spanish, I went to Guatemala for the first time this past December, for the first time after 35 years.
Oh, my God.
Because I didn't have papers. I didn't have any immigration papers the first 15 years, and then I didn't have any any papers, meaning I didn't have any money.
Yeah, money.
So I was broke for the next 15 years. So I didn't have papers, so I went for the first time, and I was talking to people like I'm from Guatemala, and people kept looking at me like, where are you from? I'm like, I'm from here. They're like, why do you sound like Mexican?
What's wrong with your accent?
Yeah, they're like, why do you sound like Mexican?
What's wrong with your accent? So you graduated from Clemente.
I graduated from Clemente, and I got married really quick. Right after Clemente, I got married. So I did not go to college, not only because I was undocumented, but because I got married and I had a family.
You have to make money. Unless you're going to teach at college, you can't make money in college. So you started having kids right away, too?
Yeah, so started
How many
having
kids
right?
do you have?
Two kids.
Still married to that same wonderful woman, or no?
No, I've been married.
That happens.
I've been married three times.
Okay, well, so. You're a storyteller, man. That stuff happens. You're an artist.
Why I have so many stories, because I have made a lot of mistakes and a lot of crazy things.
It's not always a mistake. People change. People change. Yeah. How did you make a living?
I made a living working at, I worked at a fast food restaurant for like the first 5 years, and I was working my way up to management, and then they found out that I didn't have documents, and they fired me. And I remember the next week I went to work at another fast food restaurant. I was working at a Taco Bell, and then when they fired me, I went to work at Burger King, and I was like the guy that cleaned the garbage, the guy that, I went from management to cleaning the garbage, but because I had a family, I couldn't be like, well, I'm a manager.
You have to do
what you have to do. And then I started working on restaurants, like fine dining restaurants, as a busboy, as a food runner.
Well, you couldn't have, for all those years, been at all aware of any kind of arts, writing, storytelling community in Chicago. It would have been the most foreign thing in the world to you, right?
Yeah, because you just worry about putting food on the table, about bringing the check so you could pay for the rent, so you could pay for everything that you need to pay. I did do a lot of writing because I always wrote poetry because of my stuttering years. I couldn't express myself.
You wrote poetry since you were a little boy?
Yeah, so I wrote poetry just for myself. I just kept hiding it for me, and I kept all these books of poems on a drawer in my dresser.
Wow.
And then,
what did it do for you? What did poetry do for you? I mean, it is a wonderful way to, I have found, especially for kids in neighborhoods like Englewood or Lawndale, when they write poetry, a lot of Louder Than a Bomb stuff too, that it is the only way they have to express themselves, because your coworkers are not going to sit there, and they don't want to listen to you talk about how you feel about the moon or how you feel about love. It's the only way, right?
Yeah, it's the only way. But on my case, it was something that I kept hidden. I didn't show to a lot of people. I did show to a couple of friends from high school, but then after high school, I just kept it to myself. I just kept writing because I always, that was the only way that I could express myself properly.
Wow. When did you then? I want people to hear one of your stories, but before that, when did you then? And the website for Nestor is nestorgomezstoryteller.com. But you will get some samples of his work and see about the storytelling festival coming up at Lifeline Theater on January 25th, February 1st, of which he is a big part. But when did you think of yourself as a storyteller?
Actually, I went to a reading that you were doing at the Civic Center, I believe, like 4 or 5 years ago. And after the reading, I approached you and I told you, like, hey, look, I've been writing poetry for a long time. And I wrote this story. And I showed you the story.
I remember that.
Later on. And you were so kind. You actually took the time to read the story, gave me your what you thought about the story. And I was like, oh my God, this guy who's so famous, who is doing a reading here, took time to read my story. So maybe my writing is not so bad.
Well, maybe also you looked at me and said, wait a minute, this guy doesn't tell a story very well, so maybe I could do I could do this.
You were reading from the book that you have written, but it was basically a story, but it was on written form. It wasn't like in oral form,
yeah.
Which is slightly different. So what happened is that I decided I'm going to go tell one of my poems at a poetry reading. So I went to the Green Mill,
sure,
to the poetry reading at the Green Mill. But then I went there and I'm like, oh, this poetry is in English and all my poetry was in Spanish. So I'm like, I cannot translate it on the go. And then at that place, there was a flyer for the MOD. And I went to the MOD for the first time just to see what was the MOD all about. And I heard some amazing storytellers. I heard Archie
Obez.
Archie R. Jankum. He's gonna be a Filero solo as well. And I heard him, and he actually inspired me to start telling stories. Him and Lily B. I heard Lily B. was another amazing storyteller. Because at first I was like, well, nobody's gonna listen to my story because I'm an immigrant. I have an accent.
Right.
And then I heard Lily B. on the radio talking about Humboldt Park and mangoes and her abuela. And I'm like, oh, I could do this. And then I went to the MOD. My wife bought me some tickets as a birthday present. I went to the MOD. I put my name on the hat. They called my name. I told my first story. And it just took over my life.
This is an amazing story. I am talking with Nestor Gomez. We got to take a commercial break, then get some news. We'll come back and he'll fill us in on what he's done since those initial storytelling days, because he is a great storyteller. And I'm going to play a 5-minute story of his called Love Hurts that I just find to be amazing. That may be an old one, but it's a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful, moving story. We'll be right back.
Freedom.
You're listening again to Chris Villillo, Oh Freedom, Songs of the Civil Rights Movement. I'm talking to my new good friend, Nestor Gomez. You can go to NestorGomezStoryteller.com to learn more about him, or you can go see him when he is part of the Filet of Solo Storytelling Festival, which is really a pretty amazing thing, January 18th through February 2nd. It's easy to find. Just go to Lifeline Theater with an RE.com. You are doing there, Nestor, the 80 Minutes from Around the World immigration stories that you just did this week at Steppenwolf to sold-out audiences, right?
Yes.
You curate this show. I hate that word, but you produce this show and you select the stories from colleagues and friends from other countries. It is not all Guatemalans.
No. It's people from all continents, people from all different ways of life. We try to be very inclusive. We try to have people who are who came here with documents, people who came here without documents, people who are descendants, people who are allies. We try to also represent the LGBT community, because
sure,
it's very important as well.
Sure. And it was a huge hit at Steppenwolf this
week. Yes.
And it is something that may wind up, if Nestor and I have our way, traveling the United States, because this is a people do not understand. The sad thing is, the reason storytelling can be so powerful and important is to help people understand what people just hear immigrants, and it's a black and white thing here, and that is not what it is. It is a deeper, more meaningful, more powerful thing that will shape this entire country. I want you to hear a more than 5 minute long piece that Nestor, when did you first do Love Hurts? Do you remember when you first performed this?
About 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, about 2 years ago.
You can see it. You can see it on his website if you just go to NestorGomezStoryteller.com. But I want you to hear it, to hear what a great story. This is not an easy story to tell, ladies and gentlemen, but it's brilliantly told. Here's Nestor Gomez.
Before I left the house today, I look at myself in the mirror and I told myself, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. Damn, you're beautiful. Thank you. You see, the first time that I remember somebody called me beautiful, I was 8 years old. I was playing dress up with my sister. She was wrapping a towel around my body to form a dress. And she looked at me and she said, oh, you look beautiful. At the moment, my father came into the room. And he got so mad. He grabbed the towel and ripped it away from my body and he screamed at me, men are not supposed to be beautiful. Men are supposed to be manly. I don't ever want to see you playing these kind of games again. He didn't give me any time to explain to him that the reason why I was playing dress up with my sister is because I had asked my sister to play soccer with me, but she had only agreed to play soccer if I had played dress up with her first. But my father never gave me time to explain, and he never explained me why he was so mad at me. You see, silence was the way that my father and my family dealt with things. A couple of years later, I got really close to my uncle, who was a couple of years older than me. My father never had time for me. So my uncle was the person who taught me how to play marbles, how to play soccer. He taught me how to do everything. He was the oldest brother that I ever wanted to have. Back then, we used to raise bunnies in our house. And my mother used to send me and my uncle to the nearby farms to cut grass to feed the bunnies. So one day my mother sent me and my uncle to the farm, and we were cutting grass when my uncle asked me a favor. Now, I love my uncle. And when he asked me to pull down my pants, lay down on the grass, face down so he could get on top of me, I let him. I didn't want to ruin the relationship that I had with him because I love him. A couple of days later, my mother sent me and my uncle back to the farm, and we were taking too long. So she sent my sister to see what was going on. What are you guys doing? My sister said as she saw my uncle naked on top of me. She ran back to the house to tell my mother. After the day, my mother didn't let my uncle come close to me anymore. But she never explained me anything. She never told me what was going on. You see, silence was the way that my mother and my family dealt with things. Silence was also the way that I dealt with things because I started to develop a speech impediment. I used to stutter really badly whenever I had to talk to people, and especially at school. So one of the teachers that was fond of me called my parents one day for a teacher's parents conference. Your son needs some kind of therapy, the teacher told my parents. Therapy? Therapy is for crazy people and for rich people that can't afford it, my father said as he got up and walked out of the room. The next day, the teacher called me after class and he told me that he had a friend that was a speech therapist and he had asked some questions about my condition, and the therapist had said for me to go to my house and talk in front of a mirror. So I nodded and I did that. But to be honest with you, I only did it for a while because I hated to see my face in the mirror making stupid faces and trying to talk. I hated myself. I got over my stuttering eventually as I got older, but I never went to therapy. In fact, I only went to therapy a couple of years ago when I was going through my second divorce and my fourth and maybe fifth attempt at killing myself. So how are you feeling today? The therapist said with a big smile as she saw me walk into the room. And I don't know about you guys, but when you're feeling like crap and somebody asks you how you're feeling, it kind of makes you feel worse. So I got so mad, I just wanted to throw that
across the room and get out of there. So I just got up and I told the therapist, therapy is for crazy people and for rich people that can't afford it. And as I started to walk out of the room, before you leave, the therapist told me, look across the room and tell me what you see. And I did that and I froze because there was a mirror there and I hated what I saw. I hated myself. It took me many sessions of therapy for me to understand that the sexual abuse that I was a victim of was not my fault. I was just looking for love and I got taken advantage of. It took me many sessions of therapy to realize that love is not how other people see you or treat you. Love is how you treat and how you see yourself. There is nothing more beautiful than loving yourself. So today, before I left the house, I looked at myself in the mirror and I told myself those words that have become my mantra every day. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. Damn, you are beautiful.
Mr. Gomez, that is an amazing piece of writing and performing. Because part of, as you know better than I do, the art of storytelling is it's a performance art, is it not?
Yes, it's because not only you have to write the story, but you also have to tell the story in a compelling way.
Yeah. It is an amazing thing to have met you 5 or 6 years ago, and it's an amazing thing to have followed your career, and it's going to be an amazing, even more amazing thing to see what you do with your stories and with your life. Nestor, it's an honor to know you.
It's an honor for me to be here.
You can see him at the Filet of Solo Storytelling Festival. Just go to NestorGomezStoryteller.com and look at your Chicago Tribune, because what I really do is write, and I'm going to write about my young friend here. I call you young. You are young.
Yeah, it's a young.
Everybody's young to me now. Nestor, knock 'em dead at the festival, and it's an honor to know you, and thank you for the dolls.
Thank you.
Made by your uncle in Guatemala. NestorGomezStoryteller.com. Take a little break, and I'll be right back.